Blog Talk Radio.
This is Renegade Broadcasting.
Washington is our ghetto, Roosevelt our king. Democracy is our motto, think what a war can bring.
Officials say 31 U.S. Special Operation troops and 7 Afghan commandos have been killed in a helicopter crash. AP sources say the majority of those killed were from Navy SEAL Team 6. Officials say the helicopter was apparently shot down by insurgents in the eastern part of the country. It is the single deadliest incident for U.S. forces during the decade-long war. Officials say the helicopter was a Chinook, like one seen here, used to carry troops. President Barack Obama says the deaths are a reminder of the extraordinary price the U.S. military is paying in Afghanistan. The Taliban has claimed responsibility for the attack. It says in the statement the helicopter was brought down by a rocket while it was taking part in a raid on a house. NATO officials in Afghanistan say they are trying to determine the details of what happened, but they acknowledge there was enemy activity in the area. Afghan President Hamid Karzai has sent his condolences to President Obama. Sandy Kozel, The Associated Press.
Every day, more and more of our young men are shipped to Vietnam.
and forced to fight under conditions carefully contrived to ensure the maximum loss of American lives and eventual defeat. But let us overlook that. Let us assume that it really is a war and that it is being honestly fought. What is its professed purpose? To secure a naval or air base for the United States? To help and protect our blood brothers in Australia? Those would be rational purposes, although of course one could debate the strategic necessity of that particular location as against another. But no, the ostensible purpose, the declared purpose, is to save the prolific Orientals of South Vietnam from communism. Now never mind that that purpose is transparent hypocrisy, so transparent that those who utter it sneer at us every time they mouth it. Assume that the purpose is sincere. What then? We are white men of the West, and if we were sane, no truth would be more obvious and unquestionable to us than the fact that all the teeming population of Vietnam is not worth the life of one American soldier.
My friend and your co-patriot, Dr. Revelo P. Oliver.
We must decide whether we will fight fire with fire or whether we prefer to be consumed. We are the most patient, the most long-suffering, the most generous of peoples. We certainly did not start the race war, but now that it has been started for us, it may be that we can finish it. The instinct of racial loyalty lies deep in men, and though it may be crushed over with sophistic palaver, although it may seem to have disappeared under the powder of words sprinkled over it, it remains dormant in the flesh, dormant in the soul, and it will awaken when that crust is broken.
And with those words from the immortal Revelo P. Oliver, you are joined by I, Siegfried, for this November the 15th edition, 2013 edition of Ragnarok Now on the one and only Renegade Broadcasting. Thank you all for joining me. Today's episode is the 26th installment entitled Sieg oder Bolschewismus, Victory or Bolshevism, which I just had to take advantage of an old National Socialist poster depicting a healthy Kind und Mutter, and on the opposite side, the eternal Jew, communist Jew, looking over the despair of the white race. You can check that out on the RenegadeBroadcasting.com page. Here at Renegade Broadcasting, we have an assortment of amazing hosts. Every day of every week, put out vital information, vital talks, and relevant information for our people, people in our worldview. Let's go through the schedule, and that is as follows. On Mondays, we have the Blitzkrieg broadcast with Kyle Hunt. Tuesdays is the wild card. Last Tuesday, we had Andrew with the Inside the Igloo exclusive from Canada. Thank you to Andrew. And then Imperium Europa with Dana Young Tychus on Wednesdays. Thursdays, as always, is Mike Sledge. Friday, myself. Saturdays is the Roundtable, and Sundays, the Aryan Women Show with Hex and Sinead. And again, thank you all for joining me. This broadcast, today's date, you know, it's been now a year I've been in this fray, and almost every week I've been putting out at least a two-hour-long broadcast, talking about issues dealing mainly with the culture and the history of said culture, the Western civilization, its descent, and its soon-to-be meteoric rise back into dominance in the world. Because, like I have brought up on many broadcasts, many occasions, that our people, our way of doing things, the Western way, has dominated the world, still does. But it requires white people to manage it, white people to manage these countries. We know that South Africa could not go on were it not for the white people growing food for the monsters who wish to quell them, that wish to destroy them and kill them and harm them. The United States couldn't go on without all the white people working all the jobs that require their skill and aptitude. We know this to be true, and we will never falter from such a message, because we know it to be right. We know us ourselves to be in the right. Now, that being said, we'll get into the rest of what I wanted to go on today's show. I'm going to reflect on the last year and perhaps go into some general information as to the makeup of the culture today and perhaps some solutions, and as well as your calls. That phone number to call in is 347-633-9657, 347-633-9657. It appears I already have a call. I will go to that call after I go over today's dates. History, going to a musical break for myself here. I apologize to do so early at a juncture, but after that, we will go to that call. So please, caller, stay on the line. On November the 15th, 1533, Francisco Pizarro arrives in Cusco, the capital of the Inca Empire. 1777, in the American Revolutionary War, after 16 months of debate, the Continental Congress approves the Articles of Confederation. What a great day that was. Articles of Confederation, rather than the Federalist model, which we have gone through. And obviously it hasn't really worked for us in the long run. Now has it? The Constitution. And the patron saint, the one prophet of Ragnarok now, Revelo P. Oliver, has spoken much about the Constitution and the history of this United States. Perhaps on a later date I'll have a whole show on what he has had to say about American history and how it has progressed. Now I digress from the events here. In 1864, November the 15th, in the Civil War, Union General William Tecumseh Sherman burns Atlanta, Georgia, and starts Sherman's March to the Sea. A very dark event in our history. Same day as the Articles of Confederation. 1889, Brazil is declared a republic by Marcial Deodoro da Fonseca, and Emperor Pedro II is deposed in a military coup. Military coups, we used to do them. Whether or not that was a good thing is up for debate. I'm not going to say one way or the other, but hey, military coups, they've been done before. That's all I'll say. Okay, 1920, November the 15th. First assembly of the League of Nations is held in Geneva. And then fast forwarding to 1942, the Battle of Guadalcanal ends in a decisive Allied victory. 1948, Louis Stephen St. Laurent succeeds William Lyon Mackenzie King as Prime Minister of Canada. And here's a very, very relevant one as to Revelo P. Oliver. 1968, the National Youth Alliance is founded. And, yeah, I'll skip that now, but we have a couple of famous births here. William Pitt in 1708, Erwin Rommel, 1891, and Klaus von Stauffenberg, 1907, the famous leader of the failed assassination plot on Hitler in 44, and a famous death, Johannes Kepler, someone I've spoken about on my broadcast before. He's his death date today in 1630. So there you have it, today's dates, deaths, births, and events. We'll skip the music, I suppose. We'll change it up here. I'll take the call right now and see what they would like to say. That is a 614 number. You are on the air live.
Siegfried.
Yes.
Yes, what line are you on? What Siegfried line are you on?
Excuse me?
I'm playing, man. I mean, like, you know the Siegfried line?
Aha, yes. I think we might even have the Charlie and the Orchestra song about that.
No, man, but, I mean, you know, I just really wanted to call you and give you a little props, you know. I mean, you don't give us a blessing, but, you know, you kick ass. I mean, you're young and you're smart. You're certainly not dumb, I'll tell you that. But, no, I mean, I looked at your, the two or three parts of the documentary. That was really nice.
Oh,
and, yeah, go ahead. I mean, you know.
Just to clarify, is this the gentleman from Idaho or California? I'm not sure.
Ohio. No, this is just Ray from Ohio.
Oh, okay, great.
The normal annoying caller from Ohio. No, the normal caller. I'm sorry, the anormal calling. I mean, I'm sorry. Wait a minute.
The anomaly. The white.
They defunct. I am the defunct. Ohio. No, I'm the Columbus, Ohio extraordinaire.
Uh-huh. I see. So you're simply a white Caucasoid-shaped anomaly in these United States today. Someone who doesn't really like how the Jewish media is depicting you, your people, the way it's melding the minds of your people across the country, across the world. I believe you would count yourself among such or label yourself as such, no?
Oh, yes, but, I mean, it's just, I mean, I can't believe how stupid I used to be.
Right. We'll be going over that.
When I used to hear this from people like, oh, we're all one or something. I mean, I always knew that there was something wrong about that in the back of my head.
Right.
But, I mean, and I always knew that I liked to be around my white folks. But I would always, you know, kind of just go and, oh, yeah, they're suffering poor, you know, black people. You know, you need to give them a break, right? Because they had enslavement, right? You know, they've been oppressed, right? You know, so I always, you know, would always take them into account. But now, look, I'm not going to, you know, discriminate against them now, but I'm certainly not going to look at them as a victim status. And I'm going to certainly look at them as a, you know, what do you want to call it? Somebody who wants to come in and get me. I'm going to have my defenses up, you know, but I'm certainly not going to let them in, and I'm certainly not going to, I got my defenses up, but I'm not going to look at them like they have entitlement status, but I'm certainly not going to, you know, bring them into our camp. And I certainly think that we need to be protected. With Mike Sledge's national protectionism, I think national protectionism is for white race only. It's not national protectionism for blacks and whites.
Well, yeah,
I think we need separatism, George Humphrey. I mean, I was looking at. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, man. Let me ramble just for another second.
Okay.
I was looking at Kennedy. And I was looking at Alabama, and I was looking at, you know, my birds are chirping. I was looking at what's the governor of Alabama that let the
Wallace,
George Wallace, yes, mm-hmm. Yes, I was looking at him with the Kennedy situation. Actually, Kennedy was no goddamn good if you really look at it.
Oh yeah, we've gone over that. We had a 60s show. Me and Mike, back in the day, you could check that out if you haven't already, people listening. We went over Kennedy at length for about a half hour plus, just talking about Kennedy, just talking about his legacy and his presidency and the few years before he was elected and, analyzed that to a bit. And, yeah, you're correct. I don't think he was – I mean, we had better people, better chances for leaders.
Civil rights unit.
Oh absolutely. That's a big faltering, And, I mean, that's before World War II. That's before, I mean, that's after World War II. That's after World War II. That's after the age where we had all these politicians that were exceptional men and were able to be president. But no, we had to go with Harry S. Truman, of course. We had to go with FDR. I mean, mighty crippled FDR as our leader, as the one representing our country in the 30s and 40s. Who better to represent the American working man than a really, really rich crypto Jew in a wheelchair? Yeah. And we'll be going.
Well, he's on the dime.
He's
right. His face is on the dime.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. What a great guy. Yeah, clearly. And, you go to school, it'll all be confirmed for you, of course. I'm about to go into all these things you're bringing up now. This is a very, very relevant call. I'm going to have to put you on hold for now, but please call back in. I'm going to have to get into the meat of today's show now because, caller. What's your name, man?
It's Ray from Ohio, man.
Ray, we're going to have to go.
I'll call you back, man. I'll hang up. Yeah, I'll hang up.
Sure.
All right.
Thank you for the call, though. I appreciate it.
All right, brother. Yeah, no problem. No, I just wanted to thank you for your contributions on the the documentary and stuff. That was cool.
Well, you're welcome. Anytime. I wish to do it all the time. I wish to make a job out of it. So don't think that's going to be the last of it. So.
But yeah, get the European callers to call in. Get the Europeans to call in. Come on.
Come on, Europeans, call in.
I'm telling you right now. This is Ray from Ohio. Europeans, call in. God damn it.
Yeah. Yeah,
now.
Don't let the air be filled with people from Long Island and Ohio.
It smells like a chemtrail sewer over here, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, this studio is stinking up here. We need some fresh alpine air or something, Pyrenees air.
Yeah, we need some Pyrenees, some fresh alpine, exactly. All right, Sig. All right.
Thanks a lot, Ray. Appreciate those words.
Ciao. All right.
Cheers. Okay, thank you, Ray, for that call. Okay, so now we're going to go into what I really wanted to base the show around. And I wanted to reflect on the following, the year that has just gone by so quickly since I've entered this fray. What was going on in my life? Because I'm not going to go over all the internet drama that transpired. I'm not even going to go over the news items that transpired in that year because, well, those aren't the things I know. All I really know is what I experienced in my life, in my own surroundings, things I could perceive in a real way, tangible way, right before and right after I joined this fight, this struggle, some would say a real way, some would say in no way, shape, form at all. But people seem to hold us in certain regard. I seem to hold some sort of influential position, so I will think such in the future now. So, November 2012, what was I doing? Well, I was preparing to graduate with my bachelor's degree in history and anthropology, yes, from an acclaimed multicultural Marxist indoctrination center here on Long Island. And what was I doing the few semesters before that? I chose to take the history courses, the German history course, the modern German history courses, yes. Not one, but not two, but three. Three semesters in a row, taking essentially the same class with the same professor. And would you believe it? Who was the professor this university employed to speak about and to lecture about modern German history? Well, it was a Korean female. Let me repeat that. A Korean female taught all three classes of German history that I took in November 2012. Was one of them, was the last one I took. And the subsequent semesters before that, I had, again, essentially the same class And I was getting ready, and I had this big seminar class, and it was called Mass Death in Germany. So you can imagine what that was about. It was about the Holocaust and the crimes of the SS and the evil, evil cartoons of Streicher and the evil worldview of Adolf Hitler. Yeah, yeah, guys, Korean female, LOL, says Blauwe Ocean. Yeah, this is exactly how it went. Ready? Oh, how could the German people, how could you believe the German people could allow 6 million Jews? Like, she would, and this is not even, I mean, to me now it's not even funny anymore. To you listening, this is really what I heard in class. This is what I had to put up with. 6 million Jew. Oh, my God. And she would go to Germany and just have her little white teaching assistant teach the class. This cutie named Suzanne. And she would have to, she was doing the same thing. She was studying modern German history. That was her focus. And of course she was interning at the Holocaust Museum, at the Holocaust Museum, because that's what history students are basically to do, if not tutoring or something or becoming a teacher. No. They have to go and suckle on the Jewish narrative teat and go and volunteer at the Holocaust museums. Talk about German history, yeah. Mm-hmm. Fact-filled adventures. Fact-filled, spiritually rewarding services such as that is what I had to look forward to, but I'd rejected it. And in November, I joined the fray before I even graduated. Now, I recognize this as me being on the cultural front lines, because this, ladies and gentlemen, is where the Jews have had their victory. In the 60s, the Jews infiltrated and were already infiltrated within the media of the United States alone and changed the American culture within a few decades, within a few years, arguably. And this is how the Jew has had victory. Thus, I see attending one of these colleges as being on the front lines, being a soldier on the front lines. Now, did I do anything? Did I speak up in these sociology classes that I had to take? Did I say anything in these history classes? Not really. Nothing powerful, nothing to change the minds of any. I was a coward. I could compare myself to a wounded musketeer on the front lines with no cartridges left, broken musket, and a dull saber. I had nothing to offer, no outlook that would supply me with the courage to even do so in a class. Speak up in a class and speak up for the memory of my relatives and my kinsmen worldwide, who were diametrically opposed to the actions that are so lauded as so great in these history classes. And, you know, when I say I took 3 of these classes, this was so damaging to my mind, so damaging to my spirit, that I can compare it to as self-flagellation. You know, in medieval Europe, the Christian fanatics would hit themselves in the most brutal ways, in the most violent ways, and would harm themselves, bring harm upon themselves willingly for Christ or what have you. And, well, I didn't exactly have my worldview set in stone just yet, but nevertheless, I did indulge in this self-flagellation, this self-mind flagellation that I rue to this day. And now, I joined up Truth Militia with Dana Antiochus, eventually joined up as well. John Friend was there too, and we had a little network there, and I was still listening to Renegade and watch it grow, and then eventually fast forward and I was a member of the network. And I want to take this time to thank Mike and Kyle and everyone else at Renegade for continuing to supply me with a venue in which to speak. I thank you enormously. What is my goal for this show? What is my goal for this broadcast? Well, I am the youngest of all the hosts. besides for perhaps Sinead there. Same age, 1990, a great year. So I've dubbed and crowned myself honorary captain of the 90s white males. Those my generation, those born in the late 80s, early 90s, grew up seeing the same things, grew up with the same programming, which we'll sort of get into on today's show. What kind of programming did we, the young white people, have to absorb? What is the programming that we had to shed off? What is the programming that the young white males and females have yet to rid their minds and souls of? It's very deep indeed, and we'll perhaps go over some examples of that from the media, because that's something else I wanted to talk about today. Talk about my generation in general. We'll turn to that now. What they think, what the Jewish international, when the international Jew thinks of the young white generation worldwide, and this is not only what the Jews in power think, but this is what they want, what they so desperately need and maintain the older generations to believe. And that, my friends, is that my generation is the worst generation of all time. And that is no exaggeration whatsoever. They put out news articles and op-eds in the New Yorker and the Time magazine. Oh, because it's not news unless you read it in the New Yorker, the New York magazine, the New York. Time magazine. These are the prime mouthpieces for their snobby Jewish, semi-liberal worldview, which is so utterly ridiculous, so ensconced in the madness, in the corporate madness, that it's just so illegitimate. It sickens me that I even have to waste time talking about this. But yes, they, in their media, wish to call our generation the worst. They call us lethargic, they call us degenerate, they call us directionless. And wow, they are right to a degree, because if you grow up in this area, a suburban area, and whether it be L.A. area, San Diego, Chicago area, New York, the Northeast here, prime example of the suburban young lifestyle, which involves, going to a bar, and that's about it. Right, going to a bar in New York, paying inflated, ridiculous prices on alcohol, ultra-taxed cigarettes, and then all the illegal stuff, which is so readily available here, and all the suburban white kids give into that. Oh yeah. Well, the Jewish media, it's cool to be a degenerate. It's cool. It's hip to be a worthless, drug-ridden fool who goes and attends SNL recordings and claps and applauds when the monkey on the stage says that it's great. How great is it that I get to kill the white people? You sit there and applaud. That's what you're supposed to do. Then that's what the international Jews that are in power are laughing at our people for. Because our generation is so directionless, so degenerate, they laugh at us. They think us dead. We're the undead generation. That is clearly what we are. Is we were supposed to be in the Jewish plan because... we are supposed to be, again, the undead generation, the generation born of the generation that was itself killed in the 60s. And it's not just because of that. It's because, too, the media that's put forth towards us is exactly that. We have the Twilight books, which is basically pedophilia and necrophilia rolled up into one, because the the vampire character in the Twilight books is hundreds of years old, right? The 17-year-old girl or something, and is undead. And apparently they make it together, and well, that's necrophilia right there, folks. So yeah, that's the sort of filth that the Jewish powers wish our generation to absorb. Among also World War Z, a book by Max Brooks, son of Mel Brooks, a book depicting Israel in a very positive light, and became a
Hollywood movie
starring Brad Pitt. And I didn't see the movie. I barely read the book because I couldn't get through it. And I looked at the cover and said, whoa, Max Brooks, I'm not reading this anymore. So, yeah, I didn't bother reading the rest of that. But it just goes to show you, again, we, this generation, have to be obsessed with zombies and undead and the glory of Israel. And then we also have TV shows like The Walking Dead, which has become such a focus of today's generation. I have... I know numerous people here that, you know, either record it or have to be home to watch it live. This TV show, this dramatic TV show with God, I don't even want to get into it, but yeah, Walking Dead, another example of the Jewish media poised towards our undead generation that's supposed to just revel in it, revel in the destruction of this country. And this is all part of a giant Jewish ritual to cull the white soul, the white mind. And again, this is the undead generation because the white man was killed in the 1960s. George Lincoln Rockwell was killed in the 60s. The white man of the 60s' son, our generation, would be dead already without a chance to get back. Now, how was the white man killed in the 60s, besides the political castration in the form of murdering Rockwell? It was in the form of murdering our people, our standards, with the new music and the new way of looking at things, the civil rights movement, like Ray just mentioned. Johnson, Mr. Kennedy's vice president, became president and ushered in the era of both Vietnam, like Revilla P. Oliver brought up in the sound clip I played at the beginning of the show, and the great society that I was born into. It's so great, being a young white man in the great society, that I get to go to college and learn about the evil Nazis, and then I get to see all the race mixing, I get to see all the debauchery, I get to see... Oh, it's a great society. It really is. I have to thank the older generations for the great society that they let just slip into existence. It slipped into existence because it was allowed by the parent generation to have life, to have a home in these United States, who at that time, the white people of that time, should have had the foresight to solidify our culture as the dominant one. They did not do that. They failed in doing that. I'm going to have a whole show on Rockwell, that era, and what could have been done in the 60s to ensure victory today. There are a few things that I have to say about that, and I'm not going to say Rockwell was a total failure and all this, and no, I would never say that. There are just things that they could have done in retrospect to curtail the cultural takeover that has transpired so obviously in the 60s and 70s and 80s and 90s. Now, my generation, what we will be, well, I already went over what we are supposed to be, what they think we are. They think we are the worst. They think we are the most weak. They think we are the undead, that there's no chance we can get back. But what we will be is the hero generation, because for one thing, I'm not going to let the young white babies be the hero generation. I don't have the patience for it. I don't have the vision for it. I see my generation as the one to take things back worldwide. Because this isn't just relegated to the United States. It's worldwide. Canada, all of Europe, all the rest of the Anglosphere, all over the world. And let's not forget the Latin sphere, the Spanish speaking sphere in Chile, Argentina, Paraguay, Uruguay, all the white patriots there that see this as a global struggle, because it is a global struggle and has been a global struggle for a long, 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 long time, before Hitler's time, before Wagner's time. This is an epic struggle, one that's enormity, can never be diminished, never be joked about, because this, again, is the most epic undertaking, the true and only revolution that we, any of us, should have our mind dwelling upon. It's a global revolution, and it will take a global contingent of true white men and women to take it back. Now, we'll be going over just how powerful the Jew is in terms of its media and what kind of effect it perhaps has had. I will mull over that for the rest of the hour and then go into what I think and should be done in this country alone to rectify what has transpired over these years that have passed by without us being able to prevent it from happening. This is Ragnarok Now on Renegade Broadcasting, and this is BWV 1044 Movement 1 by Johann Sebastian Bach. Be back in about 8. Thank you. And welcome back. That, again, was Bach, BWV 1044, Movement 1. And now I will discuss, and hopefully with you, the listening audience, if you are to call in, that number to call in is 347-633-9657, 347-633-9657, and as always, you may use the Skype line, which would be a lot easier, perhaps. Well, the Jewish media behemoth, the behemoth that has an incalculable role in the pushing of multiculturalism, an incalculable role in legitimizing the actions of the Allies in World War II, whether they acknowledge it in particular or not. These movies, these TV shows, these albums, these musical albums they put out, records, the quote-unquote mainstream news, in whatever form it may be, the internet quote-unquote alternative media, and as well as real-life radio, all has its function within the Jewish madness, has Jewish influence in all of its parts. Some of them have more of a Jewish influence than the others. And all of them can be replicated by us. And we'll be getting into how that may be, how ridiculous this sounds, I know, to many, but it may be done. It will be done if we are to have victory, if we are to have our country's back. And that's what it depends on. It depends on having a cultural role in this all, having our own voice culturally, because that is how, again, the Jew has won the United States, by culture. Before that, real-life war, thousands and thousands of dead Americans for what? Denazification, essentially? Defeating the Japanese Empire, essentially? Yes, all those worthy, righteous actions, definitely not. Definitely had nothing to do with the Jews back then, yeah. They didn't have any media control back then. We'll be going over exactly the control of each of those realms of media, those venues, but first we have a call. I'll go to the first call here. 661, you're on the air live.
Hello, Siegfried, how are you?
Good, how are you? Is this Frank?
Yeah, it sure is.
Gotcha. Hey, how you doing?
Oh, I'm enjoying your show. I haven't caught it live for quite a while. The schedule's just never jived up. But, well, I'll tell you, every time I hear you, whether it be live or in the archive, well, first of all, it's a fantastic show every time. You're a comedic genius. But at the same time, it's just such a deadly, serious, somber show. And I appreciate that because we live in such a fluff, funny world where everything has to be coated with this veneer of false optimism.
Yes.
But what comes through in your show is just this incredible, this is just incredible pain. And I don't mean in a phony sort of tell-all Oprah style,
right,
but just a very deep sort of stoic personal pain that you managed to tie in so well with the plight of the white race as a whole. And I can certainly relate, although not as fully. I mean, I can at least look back on the 70s and the 80s. Mm-hmm. Well, things were pretty good. I mean, I really did have what might be called my own wonder years, you know.
Right.
But I already remember by the 90s it was quite bad. I started to notice then it was just, you know, I was still pretty young, but, you know, it just became extremely difficult to pick up white women all of a sudden. And it just tied in directly with when the Jews really turned on the steam in the media.
Yep.
And defaming their people. There definitely was a link because, you know, I remember in the 70s and 80s, it was completely the opposite. And by the time the 90s rolled around, you know, the only women who really hit on me, and I know that's not the way it's supposed to go, but they did, were the non-white women.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas the white women, even when I hit on them, you know, they were chasing around the black drug dealers by then already.
Oh, yeah. No surprise there. No surprise there. And, you know, you're really right about this sort of pain. I discarded any semblance of wonder years for myself because I recognized that many young white people weren't going to go on and live the years that I already have. They were dying and being hurt in unspeakable ways when I was growing up. and I recognized this, and I discarded it and didn't want anything to do with it and would rather have myself suffer spiritually, suffer in every other way, shape, form, if I were to attain some sort of knowledge as to what was going on in the world by investigating history and by investigating what was going on in the world at the time. And you're correct to say that, because it's exactly what happened. I did not want anything to do with some sort of mirthful, ignorant, suburban existence, which is precisely what all of my schoolmates from high school have indulged in and will continue to indulge in despite learning about what I'm doing. Once they learn about what I'm doing, I don't even know how they'll react, but you know, I don't want to be on Long Island when it happens. I have no idea what kind of Robbie Legend assassination squad they have lined up, but I'm not really scared of them. Yeah, I'm just saying it's just a ridiculous slew of squandering, a ridiculous a pathetic display of whiteness in our culture, in my generation, because, you know, they say they're awakened, they say they're not ignorant, man. I'm for the revolution too, man. And then these are the type of people who listen to Rage Against the Machine, and Rage Against the Machine was the band that supplied the Jewish movie The Matrix with their ending credit soundtrack. So yeah, this is a ridiculous joke. Whatever this generation has become, and that's assuming that is they have absorbed all the messages handed to them in the media, in these TV shows, in the music that they're handed, and they think it's revolutionary. These people are just pathetic, and I didn't want anything to do with them. I didn't want anything to do with them. I became more and more reclusive, and you know, I look back on that with pride now, because I didn't at first, but now it's just in the college experience I went through taking these pathetic, ridiculous classes. I look back on that as an experience yielding. I see what I'm fighting. Now I see truly what there is out there to fight, because these colleges are ridiculous. These what they teach in the schools is ridiculous. What they stand for is utterly ridiculous. It's totally contrary to Western civilization in general. These colleges used to be all white men. All white men, and you know, you actually used to learn something, and actually used to form real relationships with people in the surrounding area and whatnot. And it was a gentlemanly pursuit, and white men did that. Now it's any groid that can write their an X on a piece of paper and can keep a heartbeat going can become a scholar now. And it's just so ridiculous. It's such an insult to our ancestors, such an insult to Western civilization in particular. And, you know, I don't want anything to do with it. I'm glad you recognize that, Frank. It's very perceptive.
I admire your purism and your stalwart application of your ideals, because I'll admit right now, you know, in the 90s, even a little bit thereafter, I did fall in with some little bit of race mixing of my own. You know, I did not produce any swaddling little Mr. Sulus or anything.
No,
but
Obama babies?
No Obama, not even one Obama baby. Not even one. But not one
hear.
Swaddling little Barry Satoru, not even one. But anyway, that I know of. No, I was always ridiculously careful about protection, because I knew in the back of my mind somewhere that while the tragedy of nature is that we really can be very attractive to people of other races. I mean, let's just admit it. Maybe not yourself, but most of us can be very easily. And if that weren't the case, it wouldn't have happened so damn often in our past. But
yeah.
That was even before TV, obviously, far before mass media. However, at the end of the day, I can tell everybody out there from experience, you're only going to have that deep soul-to-soul connection with someone of your own folk. There is
right.
No other way.
Of course.
And
yeah,
these days, I get tempted, even these days, because I'll tell you, I'm not old, but I'm no longer young. I mean, there are people my age who call themselves still young, but they're your typical delusional Americans. But even today I'm tempted because it's always, and I do mean always, the non-white women who hit on me. But
these days
I just imagine, you know, Bill Rise coming around the corner or something with a big hardcover Might Is Right in his hand, you know. That usually keeps me on the straight and narrow.
Good to hear. We got the apparition of Bill Rise haunting wherever he goes. A big thank you to the apparition of Bill Rise. Thank you. Thank you, Bill Rise, for keeping Frank on the straight and narrow. We can talk about this race mixing as per the little plan here I have for the media talk. How about I get into that and you can offer your comments here? I'll keep you on the line. We'll bring Ray into the discussion too because I believe he called back in. So how's it sound, Frank?
Oh, I'll tell you, I definitely don't want to impinge upon the brilliance. I just want to I appreciate talking to you. And now, all you guys, your shows that I don't call in on, it's nothing to do with personal preference, okay? It's just because there was a little thing in the chat room not too long ago. It's more a case of you know, like Kyle and Mike have these very structured shows, and you know, they're just going along like steamrollers. Whereas with Dana, as compelling as he is, I mean, this guy could talk about anything, and I want to keep listening.
Oh yeah,
it's more free form. You know, it's easier to jump in and whatnot. So it always comes down to that. And as far as the women's shows, you know, whenever I listen to one of their shows, I don't know, I feel like a stowaway at a slumber party or something, you know, like I'm hiding in the closet. And if they hear me, you know, I can't keep peeking out through the keyhole. So now that's a show I love listening to, but I don't call in on either. So anyway, it was great talking to you. And,
same to you.
Enjoy the rest of it.
All right. Thank you so much, Frank, for your very kind words. Yet again, thank you so much. We wanted to get into the media and the behemoth that it is. And let's start with the movies. Now, Mike brought up on one of his latest videos, which you can find on YouTube, his Reconstructions Live updates, he brought up the movie, I believe, Machete 2 that just came out. Now, what's interesting about this movie, Machete 2, starring Danny Trejo, we had Alex Jones and the Truffa Movement say how it was going to start a race war. Machete, the original Machete, he said back a couple of years ago or a year ago and came out, Machete's going to start a race war. That's right, Alex, a race war. This is Paul Joseph Watson and the globalist media creating movies like Machete. We'll start a race war and race war, race war. He would just nonstop say that, race baiting, all that, you know. And now Machete 2 comes out. Who's in the movie? None other than Truffa Movement Golden Boy, Charlie Sheen. Oh, the guy who says, I'm winning. I sleep with two hot models a day. Yeah. I'm really rich. I'm rich off of Jew movies. I'm a man. I'm a real man. Uh-huh. Sure you are. Mm-hmm. You're not a Jew or a kike-alike or anything like that. You're a real man. I gotta idolize you. I gotta watch all your TV shows. I gotta watch all your movies because you're just such a man that I gotta watch all your movies now, right? So the Truffa Movement is so ridiculous and so clear in its insanity that we over here are able to understand it. People like Mike Sledger are able to grasp these things, and the dear audience listening can understand it too. Again, he brings up on his show that the year before that it's a race war movie, and then he has Charlie Sheen in it, a cohort on his show, you know, one of these little celebrities he parades on his show to get out the message of truth and liberty and whatever he says, you know. So this Machete 2 movie was also a big flop. I looked this up the other day. It was $33 million to make it, and it only has taken in not even $8 million at this point. So a huge loss of money. Horrible investment. All their movies I see is a horrible investment. I mean, millions of dollars could have been spent building white communities and a wholesome white media, but no, the Jew has to waste millions and millions and millions of dollars in creating Hollywood movies for you to go and pay in on Long Island, at least pay $12 to see, and then pay another $12 for concessions. And if you're on a date with some groid groveling little girl of yours, a nigger music loving white girl you took out on a date to see some negroid loving movie, you can pay another $20-$25 on concessions for her and yourself, and sit there like a bunch of retards and soaking in the Jewish insanity. And that, my friends, is the movie business. Now, does this indicate change that this movie was a flop? Well, not really, but yes, it's a yes and no answer from me. Because, you know, this is a modern, this is a very recent contemporary one, so this does indicate perhaps a new trend, and that trend being the people of the United States, not just whites, but everyone doesn't want to see this anymore. Or perhaps it was just not a good movie and then good reviews from their friends and they didn't see it. Could be that simple. But, you know, I'm not here to analyze that right now. I'm here to analyze the rest of the uncouth garbage that is Hollywood movies. I have four to bring up in particular. Two I did actually see. And this is one of the scariest ones, and this will scare everybody, spook everybody into knowing that I saw the movie You Got Served, which is a movie about breakdancing, essentially, or whatever it's called. Molinese jib-jab jiving dancing, or whatever name they give it, you know. Riff-raff emulating dancing. That's what it is. I mean, You Got Served was about like a bunch of these dance groups competing against each other who could dance the best to a bunch of loud chimp music. And that was the whole story. And the hero, of course, was the young black man, the innocent little Trayvon. And the evil guys were the evil blonde, spiky-haired white dancers. So that was geared towards my generation at an early age. That came out a while ago. I would say 2003 or something. I'm not sure. You can look that up yourself. Again, You Got Served is one of them. And something I mentioned on an earlier broadcast, a movie called The To-Do List, which is one of many media expressions from the Jews that depicts white women that is chaste, studious, good white women as uncool, basically. And the to-do list, the titular entity of the movie, is a list of sexual acts that the main character, again, the innocent, nice white girl, is supposed to complete before going to college and, indulging in all the sex that you may have there. And that's what it was all about. It was all about making fun of the virgin girl and, making the virgin white girl feel uncomfortable and uncool and unfulfilled. Even though her very being is a fulfillment, her very existence upon this planet is what we all fight for. But no, the Jew wants white girls in this country and every other country to feel inadequate if they aren't extremely sexually active. They're uncool and they're unfulfilled, and well, they need to fill their lives with all sorts of filthy acts, which are shown in this movie, The To-Do List. Yeah, so that's just one other movie. This is another one I haven't seen. This is called This Is the End, and this was a film ensconced in the biblical outlook of the cosmos, and it was about a bunch of Jews playing themselves. So how egotistical of these stupid Jews to play themselves as their celebrity. Seth Rogen is one of them. A bunch of these Jews and honorary Jews like James Franco. A lot of people say he's a crypto. I don't really care. They're all Jews as far as I'm concerned anyway. So, some of them completely racial, creepy held up Jews like Seth Rogen. He's in everything now. And again, this movie, This Is the End, it's ensconced in the biblical worldview that's, hell hell literally breaks out, and the world is ending, and it's them and a bunch of dudes alone, and they have to survive, and they have to go get the Bible and research Revelations, and it's just so ridiculous. It's something that pushes not just the visage of the Jew at you as the hero, the person that perhaps to hold, live vicariously through, because they're the ones in these movies. They're the ones playing the heroes now. It used to be white men playing the heroes in even Hollywood movies, but no, now it's just straight up Jews every time. And This Is the End is a comedy movie, be that as it may, but again, it's just so utterly Jewish through and through. It's just, not even up for debate. what the Jews want you to fill your mind with, what they want you to meditate upon. There's just a bunch of uncouth garbage, a bunch of filthy jokes throughout the movie. It's just so pathetic and pointless. Then you got the Hangover series, which is two of them, I think three now. And, yeah, that's all about debauchery. It's all about not establishing any real experiences, just partying up in Las Vegas. And it's just one of these movies that people like to quote and even sort of live by and go and then have their own intoxicant-filled adventures of themselves in Las Vegas or some other Jew hole, metro Jew hole in this country, like New York or Las Vegas, like in the movie itself. And these idiots in the masses here in this country will replicate those things because they are that weak-minded. And, you know, people like to say, oh, well, what are you kidding? I'm not gonna copy the actions of people in this movie. I'm better than that. Well, a lot of Americans can't say the same. They aren't able to say the same just simply because they're not intelligent enough to recognize it. And they replicate it whether they know it or not. Sometimes they revel in the fact that they are replicating the Jews they see on the silver screen. And then, last but not least, Superbad. Again, Seth Rogen was in that one. We had Jonah Hill, another Jew. He was in that, the main characters were high school kids and they were trying to get alcohol and the same old thing. I'm repeating myself now. And this is essentially what they want the young generation to absorb from the media, this section of the media, the film industry. Now we move on to the TV industry, the most useless elements of this race, are addicts of television, of television. Working white people, however, more often than not nowadays especially, don't have the time nor the patience for such a thing. What the working white people have the time for is perhaps sports, NASCAR, the NFL. They have the time for that, but they don't absorb these shows because they know it's part of the Hollywood insanity, and that's really the only thing that's salvageable in terms of the TV-addicted fools in my generation, as well as the older generations. And we know how hard this TV has penetrated the minds of so many white people in this day and age. I've discussed on this program and others the importance of the reality TV shows that they have out there today. That's the new family programming. And if you watch some of these shows, then they themselves are depraved and ridiculous and not in any way, shape, form real at all. They're all scripted. And if they're not scripted, they film what they want you to see. They don't film things that would break down anything. We have people in Duck Dynasty like complaining that they're censoring them, but I don't know about that. I'm not gonna say it's one way or the other. That's probably just another ploy. That's me being paranoid, perhaps. So you never can be too sure about these Jews in the media. Let's move on to music real quick here. We got these rock musicians today that I have no respect for, unless they, of course, speak out about the Jew, about the industry, about this country culturally, morally, ethically, And if they don't do that, then they're useless. They're useless to me. They're useless to you. They're useless to your kids especially. And you should be avoiding their music at all costs. And I'll take the time now. We don't have much time here. I wanted to take the time here and discuss what I wanted to usher in with my own music. I'm dubbing it folksadelic rock that is anti-communist, pro-white, and pagan for white people, by white people. As the official bard of Renegade Broadcasting, who better than myself, someone who has the ability to write poetry as if it were a bodily function. It just flows right through me, and I can write all these songs that are overtly pro-white or quietly, subtly pro-white, anti-communist. Although I don't like to be subtly anti-communist, I've written a lot of poems in which I talk about grinding communist bones into dust and stamping out communism in any way, shape, form. So I don't have any tolerance for that, but we have the precedent set in the music world by the Jew in the form of things like Rage Against the Machine, the Antifa punk movement and all that. They sponsor all that stuff, and none of the musicians are attacking cultural Marxism at all. They're all ensconced in it. They all have to be ensconced in it because otherwise they'd be dead or poor because there's nothing else they can do but be Jew slaves in their media behemoth industry. Again, these Jews make everything an industry. Everything, including what I'll get to in a bit, the alternative media. Before I get to that, we'll talk about the quote-unquote mainstream news, the mainstream media. We continue to call them the mainstream media, even though things like CNN are completely illegitimate. We know from the 90s, from when I was a child, they were clearly caught faking correspondence, being attacked in Iraq or what have you, and all these news stories have been confirmed as lies, and they're standing in front of green screens when these shootings happen, whatever happens there, that they take advantage of it and they make a whole show out of it. And we used to have Larry King on CNN. Now we got Piers Morgan, a British speaking pathetic example of the Irish ethnicity up there as a mouthpiece. And then we have the MSNBC here in America, which is the far left wing, if you want to call it that, form of the media, in which we have it's Groy groveling live, and we also have Joe Scarborough as sort of this fake bulwark against it. And it's just drama. It's just, that's all it is. It's not news reporting. It's drama. And if it's news reporting, they tell you what happens, but they'll put a spin on it, of course. And this is one of the, if not the most powerful weapon in the Jewish arsenal, has been for a long time, because how else could we have the American people reasoned with fighting NS Germany instead of the Soviet Union? How else? Well, by way of the Jewish media in the 40s and 30s. And today it's even more powerful because it's everywhere. It's on all the computers, all over the internet, all over the little toys and devices you carry around with yourself all day. You can soak up and absorb this message, the mainstream message, in any way, shape, form you want. Now we turn to the alternative media. Yes, the so-called answer to the quote-unquote mainstream media. And we have the aforementioned Alex Jones here, and all that goes with that, all the truth of media, the constructed Jew-wise media, which many thought I was a part of, but I am part of the only revolution that deserves any attention whatsoever, and that is racial white revolution worldwide. But the alternative media wishes you to not even think about that. They want you to think everyone's the same, everyone's real, everyone deserves the same, capable of the same, Nazis are evil. All these things I mentioned so far, the mainstream news, the music, the TV, and the movies are all, of course, galvanized and united by the World War II narrative, which we'll talk about in a little bit. Now, back to the alternative media. You know, they want to use that as a weapon as well, and they are right now. You have all these libertarians, all these seemingly patriotic Americans brainwashed again by something they are told is not brainwashing. That is the truth, is the heart of the info war against evil and globalism for freedom and liberty. And they use all these terms. It's just totally Orwellian, totally our enemy, the alternative media. Because I've discussed this on a last broadcast. We don't have much time anymore, so I'm going to skip that now. Talk about and just mention the radio. The radio itself has been taken over since, again, the World War II era, which the radio was a big help in propelling the legitimacy of the FDR administration, the legitimacy of the just a couple of decades ago the Federal Reserve, and of course all the religious dogma that goes with it. So not only do you have the political propaganda out there, you have the spiritual propaganda being propelled by the actual radios out there. So if you want to combat that on your own time in a righteous way, please listen to the last broadcast here at Renegade Broadcasting. That was Reconstructions Live with Mike Sledge, the 14th of November, talking with Jack McGee about radio, pirate radio. So please listen to that if you want to enter that fray and combat the madness in that form. I'm going to go to this call, and then we'll go and close out the show with the things I wanted to wrap up the show with and some music. I believe this is Ray again. Ray, are you there?
Siegfried.
Yes.
This is Victory Free. I figured it out. I answered my own question. I wondered what your name meant, and now I do. Victory Free, from German to English. Victory is freedom.
Yeah, well, right? well, freed means peace, really, in German. So it's victory peace. And
victory
peace. Yeah, and what was Hitler and Hess and Goebbels talking about all the time?
They just wanted war, man. Come on. No, they're evil Germans, man. They just wanted to go attack everybody.
Oh,
and
that's
just
right.
Kill it.
Oh, because yeah. My Korean professor said that they killed a Sumerian Jew. And they were so evil. They're so evil. And she would really talk like this, too. This is no exaggeration. This is really what would happen. And, yeah, I guess you're right. Ray, you're so right. I mean, this is just... What have I done with myself for this past year, man? I mean, getting on the internet radio, talking about the glories of Hitler?
You're not allowed to do that, man.
What
have
I done?
What have you done, man?
I
don't know.
I can't put this on my resume.
Yeah, well, yeah, no, you put it on your resume and you'll make $1 million because you're going against Hitler. No, but I just got some cheese, but I got a knife and some cheese because, you know. You know what? I did eat some meat last weekend. I went to Cleveland. Yeah, as far as Frank goes,
yeah.
Frank is cool. Frank's – I like Frank, all right? But, yeah, I went to Cleveland and, yeah. It's full of the darker races up there, more so
yeah.
than down here in Columbus, Ohio. But it's still full of them down here, of course. But
oh, yeah.
Up there it's more so. But, no, I mean, I went to our ethnic home and stuff, and I actually ate, some ham and stuff, and I got sick. I got a little sick, you know.
Hmm.
So, yeah, I'm not gonna continue that. I'm going to go back to my eggs and my fish and this, that, and the other. But no, here's what I wanted to say. I wanted to come up with this point. We all need to get together. We need to square up, make some money, and not create a party, but create a positivity. And we can do whatever we want with that because political parties are nonsense. So we need to come up with money, and we need to pull it together and come up, you know, just like the road show. But we'll take the road show in different directions. Like we may, you know, go this way, that way, the other way. But you know, because I just think the voting boxes are fraudulent. I think, you know, I mean, I have no interest. I you know what I'm saying? I just do not believe that we can actually win with the political party. Let's say we did get a political party, I think they would do us in. You know what I'm saying? They'll do us in. Mm-hmm. So I think we just need to, like, form our own little, you know, groups and, you know.
Yeah.
Making food and making money, making, you know, whatever we want. But
The thing is about that is that these are national security issues that we have. We have an enemy in the media telling our people that they're worthless, telling our people to be to just soak in as many intoxicants as possible and just use your body, just let your body go, and don't worry about who you sleep with or anything like that. Just live your life, man. And then we have dual citizens in the government, in every section of the government, every branch. And then all those Jews, those dual citizens in that government, letting the Mexicans just run on in, all the other races run on in, just immigrate into here. I mean, we've talked on this network. I mean, we've talked about the Caribbean influx in the South. And, of course, the Mexican influx, not just into Texas and Arizona, but into the New York metro area where they're big, and they're getting bigger in the Northwest. So,
real quick, man. We just need to, like, go undercover and just hook up, link up, and shut up. And
well, some of us.
That's it.
Some of us in my generation... Well, some of us in my generation want to be heroes, want to sacrifice themselves, want to be on the forefront fighting the beast. And I say,
you can't, man. You can't. You're just gonna be sheep led into the slaughter. We got to go under deep cover, man. Totally deep cover. That's what we got to do, and that's the only way we're gonna win.
We
got to go way undercover. We got to make tons of cash money undercover. We got to form bases. We got to form money, power systems, undercover. We can't talk about them on air. We got to shut up on air. We got to shut up and just move. You hear me? I mean, I can't take it anymore. I can't.
Well,
it's the only way we're going to win. It's the only way.
The only way? Well, I don't believe that at all, because, I mean, these are serious issues which can only be solved through actual of government action. We have metro areas that used to be all white: Milwaukee, Columbus, Cincinnati, New York, Richmond, Atlanta, Boston, Washington. All these places used to be all white. Who are the people who let them in? Who are the people that benefit from them being let in? The American people will know what has transpired in our history, will understand what has happened, if we have our own political say, if we have a base in which our young can give themselves to, a righteous fight for them to have. And we don't have the platform right now. We don't have the platform.
We can't take over any party.
We can't take over any piece
That's
of land.
Right.
We don't have any money. We have to have some way of funneling resources and buying actual land, which is not what we have been doing in the racial struggle at all.
But it doesn't matter. But, Sig, it does not matter. It does not matter, because even if you get into the political realm, they will crucify you. They will get
sure,
you.
Sure, go ahead. I'm already crucified. I'm already dead. I'm already dead, Ray. Ray, I'm
no,
already dead.
No. For our future progeny, we need to just go underground, make money, and do something for our race. And we don't need to, like, you know, really speak much about it. That's my point. We need to get, like, Mike, Kyle, like when you went on the road show, right?
Right.
We need to do a road show 24 hours a day undercover and not broadcast it, and there won't be any goddamn movie. That's my point. You know, I'm serious. And we need to make money for ourselves. I'm really fucking serious. And I'm sick of it.
Well, we certainly need the Jew money, but the problem also is the fact that it is Jew money, and that can't be solved from simply disconnecting.
No, we won't go with the goddamn Jew money. We'll go with gold. silver, copper. What about copper? You know, who's heard of copper? Copper is a very, you know, up and down.
Well, you're talking about cash, though. You're talking about cash, though. That's,
no,
that's Jewish
about
money, and
metal.
Everyone knows it. Right.
I'm talking about metals. I say we just stick with metals, and you know.
But is it? I mean, is it really?
There's a lot of other things we can trade.
Do you really think it's conducive? Do you think it's really conducive to victory to just say the hell with the system? It's all the Jew won it all, and now we need to just become wanderers like the Jew and
No.
Just hold on to precious shiny things like a troll Jew from the 1600s.
No, not at all. Not at all. Not at all. What I'm saying is that we need to be smart. We need to barter and trade when we need to. We need to hold precious metals. And we need to, you know, think very smartly and think that, you know, we need to hold on to what we have. And we need to also, you know, trade it in for paper when we need to. And we need to figure out which ways we need to move in the next 5 years. So we got to have a 5-year game plan. We need to have, you know, a 2-year game plan, a 1-year game plan, a 3-year game plan. You know what I'm saying? We need to,
well,
you know, think about all this shit.
I think we'll go over this type of action in a conference because Mike was talking about having one of those in the South, which these types of things will be brought up. So I appreciate that, Ray. It's just I don't agree with it at all. I mean, not at all.
Right.
But I'm going to turn to this next call, okay, Ray? We're running out of time here. So
yeah, man. I'll call Kyle or Mike or whatever, but it's cool. It's all right. But you know, just think about it, you know. All right.
All right, take care.
All right. Have a good
day. Okay. Let's see. I still have the 208 here. Let's go to the 208 caller. 208, you're on the air.
Yeah, this is Jeff from Idaho.
Aha, there's
now
the item.
Calling
right. There you go. Hey, how you doing?
Yeah, just fine. I really appreciate your show. I like it a lot.
Thank you so much.
Last few shows, it kind of sounded like you're kind of frustrated not getting calls and stuff. But,
it's more has to do with my environment here in Long Island. Just I don't hold any of you beautiful white people accountable for my misery at all. Please. It's not. You're not the cause of it. But go ahead, Jeff. You had a question or comment?
Yes, I do. We don't need to be quiet at all. We need to be loud. We need to be proud and honorable. And we do need to get together. We need our own politics within our own people. Not to say within, like everybody thinks a political party, like Republicans or Democrats. We need our own politics.
Yeah.
And from that, we can build strength. Our own people, we need our voices loud because, yeah, if everybody goes underground, then you're never going to draw more people and you're never going to, nobody's going to know what everybody else is doing. We got to keep moving forward with being out there, out front, speaking up, saying what we feel, saying what we want. That's the only way other people are going to start coming to our cause, the only way other people that feel the same way we do are going to find each other is keep speaking out, keep talking about it. Don't be a coward hiding in your hole. Get out and talk about it and meet other people. Don't
Absolutely.
Be, you know, like you said, a troll hiding away in a cave. Get out there, be like an Aryan, meet and greet and be polite and
yes.
be courteous and do the right thing. Don't sit aside and say everybody sucks. We're never going to win. Say,
right.
We're going to win.
I've done that for years and really didn't do anything. So so I want to now I would like to do the opposite, which I guess I sort of did in the form of the roadshow there. I firmly believe, Jeff, that the that political cohesion here, real action here in the United States equals global victory because a lot of people in Europe are basically held hostage by their own governments and they can't even do anything about it without being killed on the streets for standing in front of their party headquarters for even daring to question their government and their actions. Because I mean, in this country, we have the freedom to. Up north, they really don't. I mean, it falls upon us Americans, and God damn it, we will be the ones to do so. We will be the revolutionary people we were once. Our heritage is that, and will be again. With this generation, I firmly believe that, and I know that to be what will transpire, but how it will and when it will, I cannot say for sure because I am no soothsayer. This is, but I really do believe this. And once we have a party, say, we have all those people who don't vote at all, who didn't even vote against Obama in the last election. Okay, we have those people who will be on our side, supposedly. Then we have the libertarians that will quickly wake up when they hear what we have to say about the system, that the very system they rue, the very Federal Reserve system that they rue so much, is a Jewish system. The dirty, filthy media that they put out, the globalists put out, is actually the Jewish media, that the war we fought in the 40s, for the white work, the workers of this country, it was for the international Jew worldwide, and now we have white workers worldwide held hostage by their own governments. This is a global struggle. It's not just a national struggle, but we'll have to think of it as a global struggle in the long run. Nationally, we have to think as well in our respected countries to get our countries, our governments back in line working for us and not just for the Jew. Jeff,
I agree with you. I agree with you wholeheartedly. It's a global struggle. Anybody that says otherwise doesn't really know the whole picture. So we need to keep going at. But America is the keystone.
Yes.
You know, if we can put this into place, we can make the whole world change. We affect the whole world now. You know, with everything we do, we affect everybody on the planet in America. So if we don't do it here in America, everybody keeps talking about going somewhere else or whatever. If we don't do it here, everywhere else is not going to be able to come together if we can't make it happen here. And it is stronger in smaller countries, but just imagine when it becomes strong here. It's going to just send tremendous shockwaves throughout the world, and we're going to gain to the 10,000th degree of power. We're never going to, you know, we'll be able to turn this thing around if we can make things happen here.
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. And I mean, and it's not like the our patriots around the world have contempt for us. It's more like they are just waiting. They're just praying, hoping that we actually do something and start getting serious nationally, because this is such a vast, vast country, and we are so scattered among our worldview. And then you have entities that are actual parties, but they're really essentially social nets around the country in somewhere like the South or the Midwest, actual social networks that they have created in person and now have manifested into a separate political entity that is racially aware, yet not unified throughout the country in one cohesive unit, which is, I mean, and these people talk about fascism, these people talk about Nazism, National Socialism. I mean, that was all about galvanizing the country politically. Be that as it may, an ethnic unit of just Germans, but we have, say, just whites in one party in America. I mean, representing the demographic that's, going extinct, the one that's targeted by every other race on the streets to be robbed or otherwise. Our people are the ones in danger in these cities. Our people aren't the ones in the cities in the first place. I mean, these cities used to be white. What we have the precedent here. We are in the right. They, the Jews, and the leftists or whatever, think it's great that the cities are all diverse now, but these are the morons, these are the unrighteous fools, infidels, if you will, that are just fine with when you bring up white people getting hurt on the streets, it's like, good, they deserve it because they're white and they conquered this place. And these are the most innocent, nicest people on the planet sometimes, and you read the stories about their lives, you know, oh, he was always so nice and, you know, loved everybody, wanted to help people. And then you have also stories about people actually active in the anti-racist world, in the humanitarian, anti-white privilege world, the left, like actual left, white leftists who actually get hurt by these groids and other creatures that actually go out and hurt them, even though these white people are out to be on their side and not on the side of racism and whatever. They have contempt for you no matter what creed you follow. This is a racial war, always has been, and these people won't get it through their heads. We'll have to put it through their heads in a political way, because these people, they crave. The masses crave celebrities. They crave drama. They crave real political action, real action, something they can tangibly perceive and even perhaps be a part of. and young people don't want to be young white people don't want to be a part and try to infiltrate the Republican Party. It's impossible. Republican Party, Democratic Party, doesn't matter. It needs a fresh start. It needs a reboot in this country. It needs an actual reboot, and there's plenty of people to start that. And I'm happy to say it. It looks like it will stem mostly from somewhere like California and or the South. And we'll start there and move from there and see how big the party can get. And no matter what, even if the party fails, it'll convert more people to the right worldview. So that's essentially what I want. I want more white people in this country alone thinking racially, and respect to be given to us by whites worldwide who want to see America flourish, who want to see America stand up for itself. White America stand up for itself. Absolutely.
Couldn't have said it more beautifully.
Thank you. this is a global victory. I'm glad that you global struggle rather, and it's not because of, and this is something I want to go over today. I'll have you on here, Jeff, to give your comments here. We're closing up the show here. You know, people like to blame Hitler for everything, every problem could have been saved by Hitler. But you know, it has nothing to do with the Balfour Declaration. It has nothing to do with the Russian Revolution, the quote unquote Russian Revolution. It has nothing to do with the Communist Manifesto. It has nothing to do with the things that the people of France and Britain tolerated way before the 1930s. A little thing called World War I. It's all Hitler's fault. This is all Hitler's fault. And it's really infuriating to hear, you know, people just blame him for everything. Even though, yeah, perhaps he could have won the war, but you know, the National Socialist Germany was at war from its inception in every way. Almost every way. I mean, and besides for the actual hot fighting, it was at war with the Jews from its inception. So to say that they were at peace at any time, it's to say they had any semblance of victory to be had over the world without the support of its white brethren in Britain and France and the United States, and of course in Russia too, which was being held hostage at the time of the Soviet Union, to say it's all Hitler's fault is so ridiculous, and just gets us squabbling and everything, and it's just so ridiculous to fight over history and everything. Meanwhile, more and more people are being hurt in the streets of America, and we do nothing. We sit here and do nothing, and we just argue about history. It's just ridiculous. I mean, I don't know what else to say. Jeff, your comments here before we wrap it up tonight?
Yeah, I wouldn't, you know, people that want to blame Hitler, you know, look at yourself today and what are you doing?
Right.
Move forward. Let's keep going. You know, you can't blame him for all sorts of problems. I mean, people did what they had to do at that time. Let's move forward. Let's keep going. If you got to argue about that, you know, you're going to put off a lot of other people that don't even give a crap thing, you know. I care about it. I think he was a great person. He did what he could do, and that's all you can take from it. That's history. Let's move forward. You know, most people today, if you even bring up the name, their brain's going to explode because they don't understand, because they haven't looked into it because it's so taboo, you know. But
right.
we can still say good things about it and still talk about something that's going to resonate with them today, you know, but without going in depth and just and then getting in fights with somebody else over the situation that has the same views we do. We need to bring more people on board, and by doing that, it's come together. And as soon as you show strength, more people are going to flow to us.
Exactly.
If you have no strength, if you have no unity, nobody's going to come.
Exactly.
You know, everybody's like, oh, well, why ain't everybody coming over to our side? We got all the right. Really, we got the answers. Well, guess why? Because we haven't shown the strength yet. So as soon as
yes,
we do,
absolutely.
It'll happen.
Absolutely correct. I appreciate your calls on today's show. I really do, Jeff. And take care for the duration of the week. Happy to have you here. Call in next time. I'm going to have to close out the show here, though, okay?
Okay.
All right. Thank you so much. All right. So, again, this has been Ragnarok Now on the one and only Renegade Broadcasting. We're going to close out the show with one of my favorite pieces of all time, this BWV 160, yet again, in the orchestra, in an arranged orchestra way. Again, this is the only revolution that we have to have on our minds, the only one. that will yield any change in the world. Ave Europa. Good night. Talk to you next week, brethren.